Genesis chapter 37. Jacob was married to four wives, and his polygamy caused a lot of problems in the family. Polygamy is being married to more than one for you youngsters. And Jacob also made another mistake in favoring Joseph. That was a big problem. He favored his Joseph's mother, Rachel, and this caused a lot of family turmoil. And Joseph's older half-brothers resented him. They did not like Joseph because Joseph was dad's favorite. And Joseph would always get what he wanted. And Joseph doesn't have to do what we got to do. And Joseph gets this and Joseph gets that. And we're sick and tired of hearing this, Joseph. And so they were mad at Joseph because of all these things. And a lot of it was Jacob's fault. Joseph, I don't believe, was out there trying to cause problems. But Joseph was in the middle of all of it because of this. And his brothers got to the point where they hated him. And their hatred turned to bitterness. And this led to sin. And I've entitled the message tonight, Bitter Brothers. Bitter Brothers. And these brothers of Joseph were definitely bitter. And I want us to notice here tonight the cause of their bitterness, the results of their bitterness, and the consequences of their bitterness. And bitterness is something that we struggle with. We've got to watch out because the devil wants us to become bitter. And there's times that each of us will be tempted to be bitter because things didn't go right. They didn't go our way. We've got a bad deal and things go wrong and we get very upset about that. We need to be very careful. All right, look at, first of all, the cause of bitterness. Verses 1 to 11 deal with the cause of bitterness. Let's just take a look at those verses. Verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah. Remember, those are the last two wives of Jacob. His father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And I'll stop there for a moment. Joseph was the youngest son until Benjamin was born. Benjamin was born quite a few years after Joseph. So Benjamin at this time would have been a little baby. Just maybe 1 or 2 years old Benjamin was. So Joseph is 17. Now that's an important thing for us to notice here. Joseph's 17. And I found I'll probably try to send you the link. Maybe I already did. I don't know. But I found a really good chart of the ages of all this. Study through that. It's amazing. The things you can learn from this. It's really good. But Joseph, you're 17. That's an important thing for us to know. And then we read in verse 3, and Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Bad thing to do. Because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Bad thing to do. All right? And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. All right, so here's the situation. All the other brothers, he had 10 older brothers, and his 10 older brothers did not like Joseph because they could see dad loves Joseph more than he loves us. That's not fair. Were they right? They were right. That's not fair. That's not right. And then Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. And there's a lot of discrepancy as to what that exactly means. But everybody agrees that it was a special coat of honor. Whether it actually had colors on it, some say it had long sleeves, some say it went down to the ground. It doesn't really matter, but one thing is true, is it definitely was a coat of honor. And everybody that would see it would say, whoa, there's somebody that's being honored. And his brothers hated that, because it's not fair. He's the little punk in the family. We're all older than him, and dad loves him more than us, and he gives him this special coat, and he takes care of him more than us, and it's not fair. And they were right. It wasn't fair. All right? So they had some real good reasons for being irritated, but circumstances should never cause bitterness. They were right that it was not fair, but it shouldn't cause bitterness because bitterness is a choice. Now, Jacob definitely wrongly loved Rachel. No question about that. He wrongly pampered Joseph. There was absolutely wrong about that. And Joseph, as a young man, apparently had godly character. Now, you look at this whole story, if you just step back and look at the whole thing, how many of those 10 older brothers were God-fearing, godly men? None of them were. None of them were. How did Joseph become so God-fearing? So God-fearing. I mean, not just nominally God-fearing. This man has got character, so when he's sold by his brothers and he's put in slavery, thinking he'll never see mom and dad again, and he's tempted to be immoral, and Joseph said, no, how can I do this great evil and sin against my God? Where did he get that character? His brothers didn't have it. And we don't know the answer to that. But I have some suggestions. Perhaps Jacob spent extra time with Joseph, teaching him scriptural things. Now that's a good thing to do, but why neglect the others? I don't know. But somehow Joseph in all of this is the one that turns out to be God-fearing. He's the youngest of the 11. And the other 10, we don't see anything godly about them. In fact, they were evil in their hearts. They were bitter toward him. They were ungodly men in so many ways. And so Joseph then, we just read there in verse 2, that he gave an evil report of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah to their father. The boys were doing something bad. We don't know what, doesn't tell us what it was, but they were doing something bad. And perhaps dad asked. I don't know. It could be that Joseph wasn't just, going back and squealing. I don't know. It might not have been that Joseph was going back and saying, Dad, guess what? My older brothers were doing this. They were bad. It may not have been that. Dad might have said, Joseph, now listen, you're a God-fearing young man. Were your brothers today doing wrong? Well, whatever the case may be, Joseph told Dad the truth. And he says, yeah, they were doing wrong. And the brothers hated him for that. Now he's going back and telling Dad the things we do. Now, this isn't fair. This isn't right. And that was where the brothers were wrong. Joseph was in the right that time. He shouldn't. The boys shouldn't have been doing wrong, whatever the wrong was. And then we read down in verse number 4 or 3, how he made him a coat of many colors. Not a good thing, caused more tension there. And verse 4, the brothers saw that there was this love. And then verse 5, more trouble started. And this time it wasn't really anybody's fault. Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren. And they hated him for yet the more. All right, now, why did Joseph dream the dream? Well, who knows? Did he eat too much pizza before bed? I don't know. It's very likely that God gave him the dream, is what I would say. All right? Because the dreams came true. They were dreams that were genuine. And so God speaks to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, let's read what he said, or in verse 6. And he said unto him, hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. All right, now what's binding sheaves? All right, they had cut down their wheat. Alright, you all know what wheat is? Wheat would grow in the field. They'd cut down their wheat, or maybe barley, and they'd put them in bundles. They were binding sheaves. They'd gather the wheat up after they cut it. They'd hold it in their arm and gather some more, until their arm was full. And then they would take and tie either a rope or some of the straw that they would weave around it and tie it into a bundle and stand it up in the field so it could dry. They were binding sheaves. That's what it means. All right, so they're all in the field binding sheaves. Joseph says, I dreamed that we were binding sheaves. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. All right, so he says, my sheaf of grain, instead of laying down in the field, it stood upright and all of yours came around and they bowed down to my sheaf. And they didn't like that at all, because now they're saying, what? Come on, you little brunt. You're telling us we're all going to bow to you? Never. We'll never bow to you. And they were mad at him and angry with him about that. And his brothers said, shalt thou indeed reign over us, verse 8, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse number 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren, and he said, behold, I dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, and his father observed these sayings. All right, so Joseph here dreams of the sun and moon representing mom and dad, and the 11 stars, his other 11 brothers, including his younger brother Benjamin, all bowed down to him. And they were very angry about this. And even dad says, What do you think you're doing, son? You think we're all going to bow down to you? You know, even dad that loved him and favored him wasn't going to go that far. He didn't think that it would carry on that far. That was too far, Joseph. All right? And from a human perspective, we can understand why Joseph's brothers were upset. All right? Now you think about it. In a situation like that, if those kind of things were happening in your family, and one person was always favored, and they got the nicest clothes, and they got the nicest this, and nicest that, didn't have to work hard, and they were always telling on you and getting you in trouble, and then they had these crazy dreams like they were going to be honored, and we're all going to bow down to them, we can understand why these boys were mad. We can understand why they're really upset with Joseph about all these things. And it really got to them, and it bothered them. Now, circumstances in our lives may become disagreeable, and when they do, we need to ask God for grace to act instead of react. All right? These boys were starting to react instead of act. They should have said, all right, fair enough. Dad's being wrong. Joseph's a little brat. We don't like him because he's always getting favored. And things aren't going well, but we're not going to let it bother us. We'll get on with life. That's what they should have done. But instead, they got together. They'd sit around talking over around the campfire at night when they're out watching the sheep. And, you know, what are we going to do about this Joseph? He's just driving me crazy. Did you hear those crazy dreams he had? He thinks we're going to bow down to him. And they'd talk back and forth and rile each other up and get each other aggravated. And they're getting more and more irritated, more and more angry at Joseph all the time. And then when Joseph got his new coat, that was really a, boy, can you believe it? Dad made him that coat and you know, honored him above us. We're a lot older than him. And now he's the honored one. He struts around like he's the king of the whole bunch of us. And Dad's just playing into all these crazy dreams. And they're mad at Joseph and they're talking to each other and it's getting them more and more riled up. You know, that's something very dangerous. If we must be very careful about who we talk to about what. If you got something that's bugging you and you go sit down and talk to other people and tell them the story so they can help you to get more irritated, all you're doing is irritating yourself and building up your bitterness. Wrong thing to do. We need to talk to God about it and say, God, here's a situation that doesn't seem fair. Would you please take care of it? Because when we start talking to others about it, all it does is exit on, irritates us, builds it up. We get more and more frustrated more and more irritated. And the brothers chose to be bitter. You know, just like a cow or a sheep chewing their cud. You ever watch a cow out in the field? Looks like they're all chewing bubble gum out there. Just sitting there quietly. No, they're chewing their cud. All right? And that's one of the Bible illustrations of meditating. Chewing on something, getting over and over and over again. They're going over it. And his brothers were chewing on this and meditating on it and getting more and more bitter. And as they discussed these irritations with each other, it just made them more irritated. And the longer they did this, it says that they were not able to speak peaceably to Joseph. They couldn't talk peaceably to him. They just couldn't even look him in the face and say something nice. It was always some snide remark, some mean comment. Because they didn't like Joseph. And so they were irritated. Now, resentful thoughts and discussing these irritations leads to bitterness, and we need to be very careful about that. Very dangerous thing. Now the results, we've looked so far at the cause. Now let's look at the results of the bitterness. Verses 12 to 28. They plotted revenge. Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers. All of them are shepherds. They've all gone out to the fields to watch the sheep. And I should have put my map up here, but let me draw you a little map instead. Okay? You got the Dead Sea down here, and the Sea of Galilee. Jabbok River goes along in here. They're down in Mamre or Hebron, down here in the bottom. All right? Now, remember, Shechem was about in the middle. Dothan is up here. All right, from here to here is 100 kilometers. It's a long ways. All right, not if you're going by car, but if you're going by foot, that's a long ways. All right, and Dad says to Joseph, go visit your brothers. And he thought they were in Shechem, so he traveled up here probably 70 kilometers by himself through the wilderness there, walking up the trails until he gets up there, and he's looking around trying to find them. And he couldn't find his brothers, and somebody told him where to go. All right, so as we're reading here in verse number 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, here am I. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with thy the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. All right, now here's the situation once again. Baby Benjamin's still at home. Joseph's 17. He's at home with Dad. All the other boys were out working. Well, that's going to fester him up a little bit too. They're all out working, caring for the sheep, and Joseph gets to stay at home with Daddy. And so Joseph, I want you to go check on your brothers. And so he traveled, Joseph by himself, he's a responsible boy, he traveled up to Shechem, about 70 kilometers. Must have taken him a couple days to get there. So he slept out under the stars, no doubt. And he gets up to Shechem, and he's looking around, he can't find his brother. All right? And verse 15, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and a man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks? And the man said, they departed hence. And I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. All right, here's the situation. Joseph's going up. He's doing what Dad told him to do. He's looking for his brothers. He finds them there in Dothan, and he can see them on the, you know, he comes up over the hill, and he can see them on the next field. Oh, yeah, there's their flocks over there. That's them. I can tell for sure. There's a whole bunch of them. That's our flocks. And so he's heading off, and the brothers see him. Maybe they saw his colored coat. I don't know. But they see him coming by himself, and they say, there's that Joseph coming to check on us, and he's coming to spy on us, see what we're doing. Yeah, and so they're mad at him. They're conspiring in their hearts. They're thinking, what can we do? All right? And they're plotting to do something to get rid of Joseph. And we see in verse number 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say that some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will come of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Now, who is Reuben? His oldest brother. It's the oldest brother. So Reuben's the firstborn. And Reuben knew that that wasn't right. We shouldn't kill him. All right, so he says, don't kill him. We'll figure out something else, but don't kill him. We can catch him fine, but don't kill him. All right, so Reuben stops him from this plot to kill him. And then we see here in 20, come now therefore, all right, we just read 20, 21, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered them, verse 22, and Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into some pit, into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he may rid him out of their hands, and to deliver him to his father again. Now, it's interesting. You look up the word Dothan. Do you know what Dothan means? Dothan means two wells or two cisterns. Interesting. What's a cistern? A cistern was a hole they dug in the ground to store water in. It's like a water tank underground. Okay? And so there's these two cisterns there in Dothan. Was one of them the one they threw him in? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Can't say for sure, but that's interesting. And so they catch Joseph, and they're going to throw him into this pit. And Reuben said, throw him into the pit, and then, you know, I'll in his mind he's thinking, I'll save him later. Verse 23, and it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and of many colors that he was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. Now, that's an important thing. I underlined that in my Bible. They sat down to eat bread. Why would that be the case? Well, maybe, but there's something more significant than that. What was Dad sending to them? Probably a care package. All right, here comes some food from Dad. Joseph's bringing us some grub from home. This will be good. And they throw Joseph in the hole, and they go sit down to eat all the snacks that Dad sent for them to eat up. And so they're gobbling down their food while Joseph's crying in the pit, saying, "Please, brothers, let me out of this hole." And he's in there begging for freedom, and they're sitting down enjoying their food from Dad. Not very kind brothers. Revenge is never the right solution for irritating situations. They were trying to get revenge. What does God tell us to do in Romans 12, verses 18 and 19? Verse 18, he says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Then he says in verse 19, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So God says, let me take care of the vengeance, you don't take care of it. I'll solve the problems, you let me take care of it. But they didn't do that. They got their revenge. So they caught Joseph, tore his coat off of him, threw him into the pit, and they sat down to have their lunch. And while they're having their lunch, wouldn't you know it, here comes a group of travelers, Ishmaelites, verse 25. And as they were eating their lunch there, they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, the company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And this brethren were content. And they passed by the Midianite merchantmen. Now, the Midianites and the Ishmaelites were either the same people or they were a mixture of the both of them, because they use the words interchangeably here. Right, so they came along the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites, and there were for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. All right, they drew him all out of the pit. You can just imagine. The boys came to the pit, and Joseph's on there, "Oh, come on, brothers, let me out, please, let me out of here, I can't get out of here." "All right, listen, kid, we changed our mind. All right, we're going to throw you down a rope, we'll pull you back out." All right, so they throw him down the rope. They pull him back out. As soon as they pull him to the top, they grab him quick. All right, and they tidy him up, and they sold their brother for 20 pieces of silver to the travelers. Can you imagine? They sold their brother, and thinking they'll never see him again. He's going down to Egypt. He's going to be a slave, and slaves were not treated nicely. All right? Slaves were not treated nicely. They were beaten and whipped and tormented and tortured. It was not a nice life of a slave. But at least they got rid of him. So they're going to get rid of their brother, and they sent him down there. Now, God's timing was perfect. God knew those merchantmen were coming. God had a plan. God said, "I need Joseph in Egypt, and I'm going to put Joseph down in Egypt, and he's going to be down there in Egypt for a good long time, 22 years, in fact, before the brothers come and see him again. And God's going to take care of Joseph down there and meet his needs and provide for him." And so God had it all planned. And his brothers sell him down there and sent him down that way. Now, Joseph all this time, what did Joseph do? You know, say, "Pastor, how do you know he was crying and pleading?" The Bible tells us he was. You can look over in chapter 42 after his brothers see him 22 years later. They said, this is what's coming to their mind. Genesis 42:21. And they said one to another, now remember, they're talking to each other. Joseph's being mean to them in their conversation. They don't know it's Joseph. They think it's the PM of Egypt, and he's talking roughly to them. And they said one to another, "We are very guilty, certainly our brother, in that concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul and when he besought us, and we would not hear, and therefore this distress has come upon us." For 22 years, they were tormented by that. Hearing those cries of Joseph, "Please, brothers, please, let me out of here. Don't don't do this. What are you doing? Please. And then when they pulled him out and tied him up and sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they load him on the camel with all their other baggage, and Joseph's pleading, please, please, brothers, don't do this. Please. Too late. They didn't listen. Sold him off to Egypt as a slave. We need to beware. The sins of bitterness and hatred often grow like the pressure of a volcano until it eventually explodes. And you do things that you never think you would do. These brothers got so bitter and angry toward their own blood brother Joseph that they sold him as a slave, thinking they'd never see him again. Off to Egypt he goes. That was only the beginning of the problems, because then we see the consequences of their bitterness. They had to hide their sin by deceiving their father. Now they have to tell, what are we going to tell Dad? And Reuben was upset when he found out. He comes back and he says, where's Joseph? Down in verse 29, and he returned to the pit, and Joseph was not there, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brother, and he said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed the kid of the goats, and dipped the blood of dipped the coat in the blood. All right, so here, Benjamin, he's distressed that they've sold Joseph. And he said, what am I going to do now? But Benjamin should have said, if he was really a leader, he should have said, now listen, brothers, that was wrong. That was wrong. We need to tell Dad, and we need to send down some men and follow that caravan and find him and rescue him again and bring him back home. That was wrong. He should have done that. But instead, what did he do? Instead, he said, well, what do we do? I guess we got rid of him. All right, we're going to have to make up a story for Dad. And they go out and take a kid of the goats, and they killed it, poured the blood in a dish, took the coat, dipped it in the blood, make it look like it was Joseph's blood, and then they all headed back home. All right, and they get near home. You can just see them all, you know. All right, now don't forget now. Cry a lot. Make it look like we're really sorry. And so they're all going, oh, Dad, we don't know. We found this coat. It sure looks like Joseph, does this look like Joseph's coat to you? Oh, it's Joseph's coat. It's all blood. The beasts have eaten him. And the brothers would go, Dad thinks the beast ate him. And they're going, oh, yeah, yeah. And then it says they mourn with him. Look at down this. See, bunch of hypocrites. Look at down in verse number 32. And they sent the coat in many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, thus we have found. Thus we have found, know now whether it is thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, and an evil beast hath devoured him, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes and put on sackcloth on his loins. And he mourned for his son many days. Look at verse 35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up and comforted him, and he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave of my son in mourning. And his father wept for him. So all the boys are saying, it'll be okay, Dad. Oh, we're sorry too, Dad. Oh, it'll be okay. You'll get over it. Well, we miss him too, Dad. We miss him too. You know, and they're all deceiving Dad, making it sound like they're all feeling bad about this. And they know in their heart, the whole time they're thinking, by now he should be getting close to Egypt. Got rid of him. And they're gloating over that in their heart, and yet they're telling Dad, oh, Dad, we're sorry. It's okay, Dad. It'll be all right. We're sorry, too. They weren't sorry at all. They were mourning with. They're deceiving their dad. They're leading a life of deceit. And they had to live then with their guilt for 22 years. 22 years. The Midianites had taken Joseph down to Egypt, verse number 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So here's Joseph. Now he's a slave in Egypt, working as a slave. He's lost his freedom. He's in a land that don't speak his language. He has no rights. Never see his family again. As far as he was concerned, he was gone. He was doomed. He was doomed to a life of misery as a slave. And for 22 years, his brothers thought they had gotten rid of Joseph. You know, the evil brothers thought they quashed his dreams. But God worked it out for good. Remember our memory verse, Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God knew what He was doing. God had a plan. And God worked their evil plotting into His plan so that Joseph would be in Egypt at a time that was crucial, and Joseph would become then the prime minister of Egypt. And God had a plan and knew all that. But for those 22 years, those brothers, every time Joseph's name was mentioned, the guilt haunted them. They were convicted by it, and it ate at them. And even when they got down there in Egypt 22 years later, and Joseph is treating them roughly, and we're going to see that in the chapters to come, Joseph saw them, he knew who they were, and he treated them roughly, and spoke to them harshly. And they're all saying, it's just because we didn't treat our brother right. They had no idea they were talking to Joseph. But they were terrified inside. It was still eating at them because they knew they had done wrong. And when we have bitterness and it leads to sin, those bitter things that lead to sin are going to haunt us for years to come. And the consequences of bitterness are cruel. Bitter people are miserable people. We can never hide our sins from God. Moses tells us as he was speaking to the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, he says, be sure your sin will find you out. That is a true statement. True for Joseph's brothers, and it's still true today. You know, we can't always control the circumstances of life. And I don't know what kind of circumstances are going to come to your life, and you don't know what are going to come into my life. But the things that come into your life, whether it be today or tomorrow or next year or in 10 years, the tough times, the difficult things that aren't fair and things that just aren't right, and somebody gets the job that you should have gotten, or you got cheated out of something, or somebody took from you, or somebody's getting favored and you don't, and it's not right, and sometimes it just isn't right. Those unkind, unjust situations. But how we respond to it is up to us. Joseph's brothers meditated on it. They talked about it. They gossiped to each other about it. They stirred each other up about it until they got each other in a frenzy about it to the point where they said, we have to get rid of that kid. And they did something they shouldn't have done. They sold their brother. They were going to kill him. At least they didn't do that. But they sent him off to Egypt thinking somebody else would kill him. The slave master would kill him. We don't have to kill him. And they sent him off to Egypt because of their bitterness. When life circumstances are unfair, we need to be careful what we say, what we do, and how we respond. You know, if someone has mistreated you, each time you think about it, you feel upset. You're bitter about it. You know, sometimes we might say, well, I'm not bitter, it just upsets me. No, if it upsets you, every time you think about it, you're bitter. Until we can get to the place where we can think about a situation that was not kind and wasn't good and it wasn't a good situation, we can think about it without having any unkind thoughts, we're bitter. And that's something that, you know, we don't like to admit. But when we have bitterness in our heart, we've got to deal with that or we're not going to have peace. Bitterness is a root that grows deeper and deeper and deeper with time. And to pull out the root of bitterness, you have to confess the bitterness and all the feelings that go along with it and ask God to clean and cleanse. Got to. It's hard. But if we don't, it's going to keep growing. And it just keeps going deeper and harder to get out later. And these brothers, for 22 years, they let that bitterness grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. They had let the bitterness grow to the point where they did evil to their brother, and now it's eating at him for all those years. What we need to do is ask God to forgive us. And then we need to go to the person that has offended us. We need to tell them that we forgive them. As hard as it is to tell that person what you did, what you said, how you responded, whatever the case may be, I forgive you. It's the right thing to do.